Good morning, church. Welcome, everyone. It's so good to see all of your faces. Give us your best smile. Let's see. Oh, you're on camera. No, I'm joking. Welcome to all of our online guests. Thank you for tuning in with us this morning. We are so thankful that you are here. So shall we all stand? We're going to start this morning off in a time of worship. Isn't it an honor to worship and adore our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords? So as we sing and as we worship, I believe that God has laid a song in each one of your hearts. It's a song to Him of intimacy and of love. And so as we declare the words today, as we believe in You, Lord, we thank You that Your word is true, Lord. That the fruit is found in Your word, Lord. Father, that we run to You in a time of need and we find rest, we find comfort, we find life and peace, Lord. Father, we thank You that Your mercies are new every morning, that we stand before You known and seen by the King of Kings, by the Lord of Lords, and Father, we just adore You with all that is within us. Father, our lives sing worship unto You. So we thank You, Jesus. We worship You with all that is within us. We rejoice and be glad in You today, for You are our King. Amen, amen. We thank You for this, Lord, in Your holy and mighty name. Amen. Let's enjoy worship together.
Redeemed by His grace, let the house of the Lord sing praise. We were the beggars, now we royalty. We were the prisoners, now we running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out Your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out Your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. Shout out Your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord.
thank you, Lord, that we will not be overcome, but you have called us to overcome in your name, Lord. Father, that we are conquerors. We are more than conquerors through you. When I feel the fear come, I won't run away, even in valleys. Your presence is enough when I feel the shaking. Oh, I will stand my ground. Your presence is enough. You are with me. Father, you're for me. Fear will never conquer me. I belong to Jesus. I'm never alone. I'm never abandoned. Oh, fear will never conquer me. I belong to Jesus. Yes, I. When I feel the pressure, won't run away, even in tension. Your presence is enough when I'm in the mystery. Oh, I will stand my ground. My God, you are enough. You are with me. Father, you're for me. Me. I belong to Jesus. I'm never alone. I'm never abandoned. But fear will never conquer me. I belong to Jesus.
Let's declare that.
You are with me. Father, you're for me. Fear will never conquer me. I'm never alone. I'm never abandoned. Oh, fear will never conquer me. I belong to Jesus. You're my shepherd, you're my keeper, my provider, my protector. You surround me, you're in every step I take. You're the goodness, you're the constant, you're my first love and my future. You surround me, you're in every step I take. You're my shepherd, you're my keeper, my provider, my protector. You surround me, you're in every step I take. You're the goodness, you're the constant, you're my first love and my future. You surround me, you're in every step I take. You are with me, Father, you're for me. Fear will never conquer me. I belong to Jesus. I'm never alone.
Thank you.
I could sing these songs as I often do, but every song
Lord, we worship you this morning. You really are worthy of it all, Lord. We are so grateful that we can experience you, your presence, Lord, that you are with us, Lord. And this morning, Lord, we honor you, we bless you. We thank you, Lord, that you always stay the same, Lord. That seasons and life can change, Lord, but you are our rock, our provider, our protector, the lover of our souls, Lord, and we worship and honor and bless your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness and mercy that follows us. We lift you and exalt you. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much, worship team, production team. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it good to worship him together? Hey, such anointed worship, man. Yo, so powerful. Thank you. You know, there's a big difference between a great musician and a worshiper. Hey, and I tell you, our worship team are worshipers and great musicians. So I'm going to be sharing the offering scripture with you this morning. We believe that giving is a part of worship, that work equals worship, and that whatever you are earning, whatever you are doing, whatever you are working in terms of your job description or occupation, that is worship unto the Lord. And then Paul writes here to the Corinthian church, and in verse 1 of this verse, he actually says, I'm writing to you the same thing that I wrote to the churches in Galatia. So this was something that Paul instituted in the churches that he had planted. It was something that he continually repeated to those churches to say, look, this is what we do as Christians. In verse 2, it says, on the first day of each week, you should each put aside a portion of the money you have earned. Don't wait until I get there and then try to collect it all at once. So a couple of things out of the scripture. He's saying pre-decide. Make sure that, hey, listen, you're cognizant of the fact that whatever I'm going to make this week, I'm putting a portion of it aside so that I can put it in the offering. That this is not a once-off. This is a weekly thing. And that he says, each one of you must put aside, not some of you. It's very quiet. Whenever we talk about money, it gets so quiet in church. Don't get quiet on me. And then he says, give from that which you've earned. And we read in Corinthians there, the Bible says, give as each one has purposed in their heart. So he hasn't put a requirement of how much you must give. You determine that. Whatever you can give with joy in your heart, if it's 1 rand or 1 million rand, whatever you can give joyfully, that's what he's saying. Give as you have earned. So, man, there's some months are tighter than other months. Hey, we know that, hey? Just nod your head at me. Look, you guys all live like you're living on this level over here where it's not like that for you. Okay, so for us, sometimes, okay, thank you so much. Some months, just because of circumstances, I give less. Just because of, man, sometimes there's unexpected. So it's, I give what I can. I don't give what I can't. I'm just trying to help set you free when it comes to money, okay? Okay, so you give what you can. As you've earned, give what you can give from your heart with joy. Okay, don't make giving a burden. Connect joy to your giving and see what happens. Amen. So there's many ways that you can give, and those are all in your newsletter and on the screen behind me. So Bitcoin is going up, by the way. So you can also give Bitcoin, okay. I've got some announcements for you. There's a life group interest gathering meeting that is coming up in the next couple of weeks. If you're not part of a life group and you want to express being a part of a group of people doing the same thing and things that you love, then that's what this meeting is all about. We don't want you just, if you don't want to meet as a life group on a Tuesday night, maybe you like guns and you like shooting. Then an interest meeting is, hey, let's a bunch of people who like shooting get together and have a life group around shooting guns. If you like cycling, get together with a bunch of cyclists and start a life group revolving around cycling. If you like fishing, start a life group, go and have a life group on your boat catching fish. And start an interest group about things that you like doing where you can draw other people and include God in that interest group. Okay, so that Yanu will be leading that interest group gathering meeting. So come to that meeting. Then we have just some practical housekeeping. There's no evening services while we're having our school holidays, but we're going to be starting next term a 9-week course called Financial Peace University by Dave Ramsey. And it's teaching believers how to get out of debt, how to manage wealth, and how to create wealth. So you might be saying, yeah, Steve, you just want us to do this course because we want your money. No, we want you to prosper. And there's only one out of the 9 that talks about giving. The rest is very practical on making the most out of your money so that you can actually create wealth. See, many people are managing money, but very few people actually create money. And in Deuteronomy 8:18, the Bible says that God has given you the power to create wealth. So God will give you ideas on how to create wealth. Many people, when they get to a certain age, when they're like, oh, I'm going to enter into retirement age because I've worked for 40 years and I'm going to retire on my money, actually find out, man, I don't have enough. And that's because you've managed your money well, but you might not have learned how to create money. And so God wants to empower you so that you can become a wealth creator, not just a money manager. That's a great promise for each one of you. And that is, the Bible says that God has given you the power to create wealth so that he could establish his covenant on earth. God wants you to prosper so that you can establish his covenant on earth. Nod at me, smile at me. Look at the person next to you and say, God wants me to be a wealth creator. Now, some of you don't believe it, but you're talking to the person, but it's like, ah, not me. Come to Financial Peace University and learn how to, number one, get out of debt, how to manage money, and then how to create wealth. Okay. So we're going to be watching that video now. And then Pastor Yanu is going to be preaching a great word this morning, and we're going to be having communion together. So enjoy the service with us.
Good morning, everybody. Wonderful to see you all in church this morning. As Pastor Steve said, my name is Yanu, and I have the privilege of sharing the word this morning, and we're going to continue with our series called Overcomers. Have you enjoyed this series so far? I think it's been great. I think everyone has done a great job, and it's wonderful to know that we are overcomers in and through Jesus. And I hope today you're also going to feel like an overcomer, and I'm really excited to share with you what I believe God has put on my heart for today. But before I get into my message today, I just want to read our theme scripture, which is Romans 8, verse 37. And there the Bible says, yet in all these things, and in context, Paul was just talking about all the challenges we can face as a believer. Paul faced severe persecution, but we also know we can face a lot of challenges in this fallen world. And sometimes it's not because we did something wrong. Sometimes it's not because of the devil. Sometimes it's just because we live in a fallen world. But he's saying, yet, you know, despite all these things, all the challenges that we may face, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And I just want to read to you what a Greek scholar wrote about this verse. He said the word conqueror in verse 37 there is the Greek word nikos. It describes an overcomer, a conqueror, a champion, a victor, or a master. But Paul joined the words hyperenikos to make his point even stronger. He was telling us that in Christ Jesus, we are unrivaled overcomers, unsurpassed conquerors, and paramount victors. So when Paul says we are more than conquerors through Jesus who loves us, that is what he says. And it's so important for us in life to see ourselves as overcomers. You know, in order for us to overcome some things and to be the overcomers that God created us to be, we need to see ourselves as an overcomer. And another translation says, but we are able to overcome all these things and more through his love. So because of Jesus, because of his finished work, and because of his great love, we can overcome things in life, and we are overcomers. So this morning, I want to share four keys with you that I believe can help us to live an overcoming life. And I want us to look at the passage where Jesus and Peter walked on water. And then I want us to look at four things from that passage that can help us in life to overcome some things. And I want to read out of Matthew 14 from verse 22 to 33 there. It says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of a sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. So we see here that the disciples found themselves in a storm here, a big challenge. And then it goes on to say, now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Just imagine that. Seeing someone walk on water, walking on the sea while there's a storm raging. You know, I think the disciples were quite surprised. And it says in verse 26, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. And I think it would have been the same for most of us. But then it goes on to say, but immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. So just a remarkable thing that happened. Jesus walking on the water and then Peter asking him to invite him, and Jesus did so. And then Peter also walked on water. So just, an astonishing miracle that took place. But I believe we find several keys out of this passage that can help us to overcome storms in life too, or overcome difficulties. And the first one is, we need to stand on God's word. We read there in verse 22 that it says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. So the disciples were in the will of God here. And that shows us sometimes we can be in God's will, do the right thing, and still face challenges. And that's what happened to the disciples here. But they could have reminded each other that they were doing what Jesus told them to do. And Jesus told them to go to the other side. And I believe when Jesus walked on the water, he was just passing them, because he expected them to reach the other side. But see, they forgot that they were actually following the word of the Lord here. But when we stand on God's word, we can have confidence that we can overcome things in life. You know, in life, we will face challenges, whether we're in God's will or out of God's will, whether we do the right thing or the wrong thing. But it's so much easier to overcome challenges when we're in the will of God and following the word of the Lord. And that's what the disciples did here. But then in verse 29, it also says, so he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of a boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, we just saw that Peter eventually started to sink. And sometimes we can be critical of Peter and his faith for sinking. But it's actually remarkable that he actually walked on water, just like Jesus. Now, what enabled Peter to walk on water? Naturally, that is impossible. But something caused Peter to overcome all the natural laws that would usually prevent him or anyone else from walking on water. And that was one word spoken from the mouth of the creator of the universe. He simply said, come. You see, Peter was actually not walking on water. He was walking on a word from God. And one word from God is all it takes for a life to be completely transformed. One word from God can change your life. It can restore your marriage. It can heal your body. It can get you out of depression. It can cause you to start to prosper financially. And it can even change your destiny. One word from God. Think about that. All Jesus said was come. And it enabled Peter to walk on water, to experience an incredible miracle. One word from Jesus. All you need is one word from God to have a changed life. But we need to get a word from God, and we need to stand on the word of God and on his promises. And I just want to read some verses to you that talk about the power of God's word and why we can stand on it. Jeremiah 1 verse 12 says, then said the Lord to me, you have seen well, for I am alert and active, watching over my word to perform it. God himself is watching over his word to perform what he had promised. F.F. Bosworth in his book, Christ the Healer, said, when we steadfastly believe and act our faith in God's word, nothing can keep the power in the word from making all things to become exactly as the word says. We just need to believe God's word and stand on his promises. Luke 1 verse 37 says, for with God nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible or fulfillment. And the good news is a word from God doesn't have an expiry date. You can always stand on it. You can always believe it. And there's a pastor in America. He said at his church, he usually encourages the ministry team to ask the people when they pray for them, what word are you standing on? And then to simply agree with them that that word will come to pass. And they said, you know, after several years, they have found that the people who have a word that they're standing on tend to experience answers to their prayers a lot more than those who don't stand on a word. Because you see, when you stand on God's word, it gives you confidence. It makes faith easy when you know it's what God's word promises. So we can pray for people whether they're standing on a word or not, and we can, you know, experience answers to prayers, but it makes it easier when we're already believing and standing on God's word. Isaiah 55 verse 11 says, in the same way, my words leave my mouth and they don't come back without results. My words make the things happen that I want to happen. They succeed in doing what I sent them to do. All we need to do is to believe that word. And then Proverbs 30 verse 5 says, every word of God is tried and purified. He is a shield to those who trust and take refuge in him. If you want to overcome some challenges in life, you're going to have to stand on a word from God. And the Bible says all of the promises of God are yes and amen. So if you want to be an overcomer and you want to live an overcoming life, stand on God's word. The second thing we find from that passage that can help us to overcome in life is we need to get out of a boat. In verse 28 and 29, it says, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, Peter was saying, Jesus, if it's you, invite me to come. And what did Jesus say? Did he say, come, Peter? No, he just said, come. And I believe the invitation was open to all of the disciples. That's why Jesus simply said, come, and not come, Peter. But Peter was the only one who was willing to get out of a boat. And you see, we just talked about the importance of standing on God's word, but it's also important to act on the word. Sometimes we miss miracles or adventures and some of the wonderful things that God has for us because we're not willing to step out of a boat. Now, I'm not saying today that you need to get out of boats that God didn't tell you to get out of. And I'm also not saying that you shouldn't use common sense. You know, common sense is a wonderful gift that God gave us. But unfortunately, it's not as common anymore. But we need to use common sense in life. But when God tells you to get out of a boat, you need to get out of it. You need to do what He tells you to do. In John 2 verse 5, we see that the mother of Jesus said to the servants, whatever He says to you, do it. Nothing more, nothing less, but what He says, do it. The servants chose to do that and it led to a miracle. Jesus turning water into wine. The same will happen for us as we do what He tells us to do. And sometimes what hinders us from stepping out of our boats can be comfort zones. We enjoy being in our comfort zones. Sometimes it can be insecurities or even fear. But I like what Joyce Meyer says. She says, if God tells you to do something or you know you need to do something and you feel afraid, do it afraid. Still do what He tells you to do. And I've seen it at our church. We've had people who have said, you know, I feel like I need to join the ministry team. I feel like God wants me to start praying for people, but I've never done it and I'm afraid to do it. But they chose to step out of a boat and to join the team. And those same people who were so insecure and afraid in the beginning became so bold and confident after a few months. You know, those same people, I've seen them. Sometimes they'll run to people who have a runny nose and say, can I pray for you? So bold, so confident, no fear of man in them. Why? Because they chose to step out of a boat. What boat do you need to step out of in your life at the moment? You know, maybe some of you also feel like you need to start to pray for people, but you're afraid to do it. You know, choose to step out of a boat. As you do it, it will become easier. Maybe God has spoken to some of you to start giving more if you can. But you think, if I'm going to do that, you know, my income is going to be less. How can I give more? But whatever He tells you, do it. Be willing to step out of a boat. Some of you know people that you need to invite to church, but you're afraid of a response. You know what's the worst thing that can happen if you invite someone to church or to your life group? It's quite bad. They can say no. That's the worst thing that can happen. Sometimes we just need to be willing to step out of a boat. You know, I remember just after I gave my life to Jesus, someone said to me, prophesied over me that they felt that God was calling me into ministry. And I remember thinking to myself, I will do a lot of things for God, but I'm not going to speak in front of people. But you know, God challenged me to step out of a boat too, and it became easier. Still not easy, but it's easier. And as we do it, as we become willing to step out of a boat, and as we trust God in the process to help us, and as we start to experience His ability in and through us, it becomes easier. And we become more bold and confident. But be willing to step out of a boat when God leads you to do it. It will lead to miracles, it will lead to blessings, and it will lead to wonderful adventures that you can experience in your relationship with God. So be willing to step out of a boat. But the third thing we find in this passage is we need to be of good cheer. We need to rejoice in life. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, choose to rejoice. It says in verse 27 there, but immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. Now think about it. Jesus told them to rejoice before He did something about the storm. Now, if He just told the storm, I'm sure they would have rejoiced anyway. But you see, in life, it doesn't take any faith to rejoice when we see a promise come to pass. It does take some faith to believe it before we see it with our natural eyes. And He was encouraging them to rejoice before He performed the miracle. And we need to do the same. Sometimes for us to experience some things and to see a miracle come to pass, we need to believe it before we see it. You know, T.L. Osborne said that the way of a natural person is seeing is believing. But God says believing is seeing. Sometimes we need to rejoice as if a promise already came to pass, even when we can't see it with our natural eyes yet. We rejoice in the word of God. We rejoice in his faithfulness. We rejoice because we know he has never lied, he has never failed, and what he has promised can come to pass in our lives. It will manifest. But we need to choose to be of good cheer. We need to choose to rejoice. In John 16, verse 33, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." You know, I spoke to someone not so long ago, and they were talking about problems and saying, you know, even Jesus said, in this world we will have tribulation. And that is true. He did say it. It's a promise. But that's not all he said. He went on to say, but rejoice. Be of good cheer. I have already overcome the world. And you see, we can also overcome because he already overcame. And through him, we are overcomers. And then in Nehemiah 8 verse 10, the Bible says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." If a devil can steal your joy, what else can he also steal? Your strength. Do we need strength in life sometimes to overcome a challenge, to hold on to a promise? Definitely. That's why it's so important to make sure nothing steals our joy and we choose to rejoice. You know, it's not always easy when we're facing problems to rejoice, but it's also a choice. And as we focus on God and his promises and as we stand on his word, it can become easy to do it. But choose to rejoice, choose to be of good cheer, and it can help you to overcome in life. And then the last thing I want to talk about this morning is magnify Jesus. Now, if you forget all my points that I shared today, that's fine, but please remember this one. This is the most important one. Choose to magnify Jesus. And the word magnify can mean to make bigger. Now, Jesus is already as big as he is. We can't make him bigger, but we can make him bigger in our hearts. See, some of us are serving a small God in our hearts. Notice I didn't say you are serving a small God. He's a big God. He's almighty. He's omnipotent, all-powerful. But in our hearts, we see him as small. He's almighty God. Make sure you magnify him and you make him bigger in your heart. But let's read what happened to Peter. From verse 29 to 31, it says, "He walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out saying, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, 'O you of little faith, why did you doubt?'" Now think about it. Peter was walking on water like Jesus. What a miracle. But then the Bible says, as he saw how bad the storm was, he started to sink. Nothing in the Bible indicates that the storm got worse and then he started to sink. It was because of his focus that he started to sink. While he was looking at Jesus, while he was standing and acting on that word come, he walked on the water. The storm was still raging, but he was on top of the storm. He was overcoming the storm. But as soon as he changed his focus, he started to sink into the storm. See, in life, sometimes we sink into our problems, not because our problems are so terrible and because we're bigger than God. We sink into it because that is what we magnify instead of magnifying Jesus. It's so important for us to keep our eyes on him and to magnify him. And the word magnify can also mean to make something appear larger than it is, especially with a lens or a microscope. Now, don't we often do that with problems? We make it a lot larger than what it really is. And when it comes to magnifying, we can do it with either a microscope or a telescope. And a microscope can take a small thing and make it appear very big. But a telescope just makes something as big as it already is. And when it comes to our problems, we need to be careful not to take out our microscopes and make it a lot bigger than what it actually is. And when it comes to God, we need to take our telescopes out and see him for
for who he really is. A big God, an all-powerful God, almighty God, who is for us and always with us. In Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 2, it says, "And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith." En ek wil hierdie vers graag vir julle uit die Afrikaanse vertaling ook lees. Die Afrikaanse vertaling gebruik baie hoë terme hierso, maar baie mooi woorde, mooi terme. Dit sê, kom ons hardloop met volharding op die baan wat voor ons uitgestrek lê. Ons oë vasgenaal op Jesus, die voorganger en voleinder van ons geloofswedloop. Mooi woorde, nê? Dis wat ons moet doen, oë vasgenaal op Jesus, oë gefokus op Jesus. Let's choose to look at Jesus and his promises, and let's keep our eyes fixed on him. In Psalm 34 verse 3 it says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." So let's choose to see God as a big God. Let's choose to focus on him. Let's magnify him together. And sometimes we need to compare our problems to the power of Jesus. I remember being a young boy. I was probably grade 1 or 2. And I attended a church function with my family. And us boys, we were a lot of boys at this function, young boys. We decided to play some cricket there. And we had one guy who was a bit older than me, a bit bigger than me too. And he was a bit of a bully. And we decided when we played cricket that we were each going to bowl 6 balls, like a normal over, for those of you who know cricket. And this guy decided he was going to bowl as many balls as he wanted to. So sometimes he would bowl 9 balls instead of 6, sometimes 10 balls instead of 6. And I don't know if I should say because of a brave or stupid boy that I was, but I decided to say something. And I said to him, "Listen, we agreed that every guy will bowl 6 balls. You can only bowl 6 balls. Now this guy, as you can imagine, wasn't too impressed with me. And he started telling me what he would do to me and how I should keep my mouth shut. And I really, everything in me wanted to be tough and do something about it. But I looked at his size and I thought, let me just keep quiet. I already said too much. Because when I looked at him, he was a lot bigger than me. I couldn't take him on. But then what this guy didn't realize was I had a family member, he's a second cousin of mine, and he was older and bigger than this bully. And he didn't play with us, but he overheard what was happening. And he stepped in and looked at this guy and said to him, "What did you say?" And all of a sudden, all the fear left me, and I became confident and tough and ready to take this bully on. And I looked at this bully and I thought, "You're so small, you know?" But what happened? You see, when I compared him to myself and my own strength, I couldn't take him on. He was too powerful for me. But when I started comparing him to someone who was bigger than him, and who had my back, who was for me, I had no fear. I became confident. And you know, it's interesting, in Psalm 18, David talked about God's deliverance. And he says where God delivered me from my enemies, from those who were too strong for me. He's saying they were too powerful for me. But the good news is, they were not too powerful for God. You see, there are many things in life that are too powerful for us. There are many things in life that are impossible for man, but nothing is impossible with God. And sometimes we need to look at our problems and say, "I can't overcome this. I'm going to be humble and honest. I can't overcome this in my own strength or ability. I'm not smart enough to overcome it. But God is bigger than this." And sometimes we need to compare our problems to God. What do you think is going to happen if your problems and Jesus step into a boxing ring? If your problems had any common sense, it won't even step into the ring, because it's going to get knocked out in the first few seconds.
And it might, again, might be too powerful for you. It might be terrible for you, but it's never too big for God. Why don't you choose to magnify Jesus and His power more than your problems? It will make your big problems appear small as you look to Jesus and as you keep your eyes fixed on Him. So let's do what the psalmist said there, and let's choose to magnify the Lord together. And in a moment, we're going to take communion together, and I believe, you know, communion gives us a wonderful opportunity to do just that, to magnify the Lord, to look to the Lord, and to focus on Him and what He did for us. But before we take communion together, I want to ask you to just close your eyes for a moment, please. We're going to take communion together now. But as you close your eyes, I want you to just listen to the Holy Spirit. Maybe He just wants to whisper something to you now. Maybe He just wants to remind you of a promise that you can stand on. Maybe He wants to give you a promise to stand on. Maybe He wants to remind you of something that He's put on your heart that He wants you to do. And you get to choose today. Are you going to step out of a boat? Maybe you need to choose to rejoice today. And if it's difficult to do that, ask the Holy Spirit for help. See the promise in your heart. Rejoice as if it already happened. And then it's so important to magnify Jesus. Magnify Jesus. His power, His ability. I want you to imagine your problems. Maybe it's a lot bigger than you. Maybe you feel overwhelmed at the moment. But I want you to imagine Jesus standing next to your problems, looking down to the problems that you have, walking on top of it, laughing at it, saying to you, it might be difficult for you, but it's a piece of cake for me. Why don't you trust Him? Why don't you humble yourself and say, Lord, I can't. I don't have it. But You've got this. I give it to You. Won't You help me? And choose to magnify Him. Exalt Him. Look to Him. Focus on Him. Trust Him. The Bible also says when we ask, we need to believe that we receive and we will have it. I feel like God wants to answer some prayers right now. In your heart, you can ask Him. And believe you receive now. Not when you see it. Not when you will have it. Believe now that you receive your healing. That you receive your financial freedom. That you receive a restoration you need. Whether in a relationship, whether in your emotions. Believe you receive right now. And thank Him for it. Rejoice, because it's already finished. And the Bible promises, as we believe we receive when we pray, we will have it. We will see it come to pass. Thank You, Lord. But if you are here today and you don't know Jesus personally, you haven't made Him the Lord and Savior of your life, I tell you, it will be the best decision of your life to choose to follow Him. I don't know anyone who has ever regretted choosing to follow Jesus. So if that is you, I want to ask you to just raise your hand. I'm just going to lead you into a prayer. I want to give you this opportunity before we take communion together. If that is you, please just raise your hand. Let me just see, and I'm just going to lead you into a prayer. Anyone here today? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. I see your hand. I want to encourage those watching online. If you haven't made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, you can do it right now. So I'm going to pray now, and I'm going to ask, especially those who raised their hands, to repeat after me and to say it from your heart. But I'm just going to ask the rest of you just to join them. And let's celebrate with them. And let's just say, Lord Jesus, thank You for Your amazing love. Thank You for dying for me. Thank You for paying for my sin.
Today I choose to receive you as my Lord and Savior. I want to follow you. I want to know you. And I want to belong to you. And I choose today to magnify you. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Amen. While we rejoice with those of you who chose today to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says there's a celebration in heaven because of a choice you just made. But we also have a privilege now of taking communion together as a church family. If you didn't receive communion elements, you're welcome to just raise your hand. Someone will get to you. We want to make sure you get it before we take together. Just keep your hand up until someone gets to you. There's someone there at the back. Okay, just keep your hand up until someone gets to you. And we're going to take together now. Let's just pray over the body of Jesus. Lord, we thank you so much for your body that was broken for us. Thank you, Lord, that we can be made whole because of what you did for us. Thank you, Lord, for paying not only for sin, but also the effects of sin. Thank you for the freedom that we can experience in life. Thank you for all the challenges that we can overcome because of what you did for us. And Lord, we're going to partake together now in remembrance of what you did for us, of your body that was broken for us. And Lord, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Let's pray over the blood of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the blood of Jesus. Lord, it's something we also want to magnify today. I pray as we partake together that people will be set free from shame, guilt, condemnation, their past mistakes, because we want to magnify what you did for us, Lord. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that is so much more powerful than sin or mistakes that we made, Lord. We thank you for your blood that made us righteous, that made us innocent. Thank you that we have forgiveness through your blood that was poured out for us. So we also do this now in remembrance of you and your finished work. We choose to magnify it, and we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you for making us overcomers. And I pray for those who might feel like they already started to sink into problems or depression or difficulties. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you for rescuing us. Thank you for pulling us out of difficulties, Lord. And I pray that you'll do that for people who are in need of it today. And I thank you that you also help us to look to you, to magnify you, so that we don't sink again and again. Because, Lord, we want to experience your best. We want to walk in the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and you add no sorrow with it. Thank you, Lord, that we can be rich in all areas of life because of you, because of your finished work, and because of your promises. So we thank you for it, Lord. We give you praise. We magnify you. And we thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much for coming to church today. If you want prayer, if you want someone to agree with you, to stand on a word from God, please join our ministry team there in the corner. They would love to pray with you and agree with you in prayer. Thank you for joining us today. Remember, you are highly favored and deeply loved. God bless you.